Chapter 21, verse 1, Buzz Lightyear, infinity and beyond. Well, let's see what God has to say about infinity and beyond. Chapter 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Lord, we pray that as we spend a few moments in your word, that you would use your word to feed us. Use your word to encourage us. Use your word to motivate and challenge us. We ask for that infilling of the Spirit that allows us to hear and be receptive. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To infinity and beyond. Now we know that Buzz Lightyear is just a fictional character fighting space railway. Josh is like, what? He is? I'm devastated. It's okay. You can see me for counseling afterward. Okay. But he's just a fictional character played very well by Tim Allen. Space Ranger, Gamma Quadrant, taking out the evil Emperor Zurg. But there really is in Revelation a battle. And it's not a fictional character. It's Jesus Christ. And it's not a fake empire, it's a real empire, the empire of the evil one that is trying to attack, and yet God wins. We sang about a mighty God. We sang about his victory, his kingdom authority. Now, one of the things we've been looking at in this series of connections is how God allows us to take the scripture and connect to people. One of the core needs we're looking at that can be a connecting point is the need for security. We talked about how God provides for our needs. Last week, we talked about how God works everything together for good. Well, one of those insecurities that people have and wrestle with is what happens after this life. Now, for some people, atheists, someone like Richard Dawkins and those like him, they're convinced nothing happens after this life. That this is all you get. 70, 80, and if you're fortunate, 90 to 100, maybe a little past that, but that's it. And you're done. You cease to exist. I had a gentleman friend of mine, he was the best man at our wedding, who came up with these profound sayings that made you just look at him and go, huh? One of those was, now that you exist, can you grasp the concept of not existing? David, I'm 15. How do you come up with this stuff? But for an atheist, this is it. Their world is a material world, and when you're done, you're done. Now, Paul would argue that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. If this is it, if this is all that we're doing, what a tragic end. There's a reason that there are very few atheists on planet Earth, true atheists. There are more agnostics that aren't sure, but pure atheists, very few. Why? Because there's something in us that says we're wired for more than this. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, Solomon says that God has put eternity in our hearts. He put that infinity and beyond in our hearts. We know that there's more. We know that there's got to be more. It just doesn't seem enough. We know that we were made for more than just this material world. Now, some people, choosing the path of reincarnation, decide that we just keep coming back again and again and again, hoping to get it right. Maybe you'll come back as a worm. Maybe you'll come back as some higher life form, but your goal ultimately is reach this place known as nirvana, where you become one with the universe and basically lose everything that is your individuality, and you get kind of swallowed up in the one. When I read Revelation 21, I don't see that happening. What I see is that God has created us for a relationship with Him, an affinity and beyond with Him. And so we have an answer to these people that are wondering what's going to happen after I die. There's a reason they have a saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. That when we're facing end of life, for the most part, a lot of people want to know. And when you ask people, a lot of people are saying, well, I hope I'll end up in heaven. I hope. Now, not everybody believes in heaven or hell. This recently, I don't know if it was in the Atlantic magazine or the New Yorker, Anton Scalia, one of the chief justices, was interviewed. And as they were debating back and forth, discussing back and forth, somehow the question came up about heaven and hell. Now, Anton Scalia is a committed Roman Catholic, and the person he was speaking to didn't believe in either heaven or hell. And he looked at her, and his response was something like this. I'm going to try to paraphrase it. My God, woman, are you that out of touch? Are you that insulated that you don't get this? Just about everybody in America believes that there is a heaven. And, he said, you're going to end up in one place or the other. This is in the interview. I'm like, go baby. Maybe not the approach I would use, like in your face, but it worked for him. So he was challenging her to think about realities beyond this world. That there is a life beyond this life. Now granted, not everybody wants to think about that. Not everyone wants to focus on that. I know when I do funerals, that's a wonderful opportunity to connect because people are thinking about it then. And so we don't want to miss the opportunity to connect people in this area. How do I do that? How do I connect people? Well, I think first of all, we need to be connected. How often do we here live in light of heaven there? How often do we live in light of Revelation 21 is coming? Most of us get so caught up with the day-to-day grind, don't we? Just trying to make, pay the bills, earn the paycheck, just do life, that we forget we are citizens of two kingdoms, this one and that one should be affecting this one. So how do we connect? Briefly, 2 points today. The first one is this. The hope of heaven encourages us to endure patiently the challenges of this life. Read again with me. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. No more death or mourning or crying or pain. This past week, my mom had a memory test done. And the diagnosis from the doctor is early Alzheimer's. Now, I believe in a God who can touch and remove plaque on the nerve cells, but I also know that I live in a fallen world, and sometimes that's not the path He chooses. See, when I read Romans chapter 8, something we read last week, verse 20, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up into the present time. We live in a fallen world. And even if the Lord were to heal every single disease until the day you die, you're still going to die unless Jesus comes back in your lifetime. Because this isn't our final place. My mom and I chatted, and she's still, they got it very early, and they're giving some meds to help. But you hear something like that. You're like, wow, and my sister and I were talking, my younger sister. And I said, she goes, do you think it's accurate? And I said, well, I'd like to believe it's not. I said, but I'm grieving. And I said, and it's okay to grieve. It's okay to grieve. See, we live in a world where it's a fallen world where things happen. People get sick. Loved ones die. Jobs are lost. We talked about that last week. And although it's true that we know that God works all things together for good, and he does, that doesn't mean that everything that happens down here is good. Even though God works it for good, it's still tough. It's tough. You don't want your parents to weaken. You want your parents to stay alive to 252. They ought to be able to live for, you know, like they did with Methuselah, at least 20 generations for it. Well, I'm going to go see great, 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 great grandpa today for some tea. You know? But we don't have that luxury. We live in a world where things happen, where things are tough, where challenges take place. And yet what Paul tells me in that Romans 8 is this: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Where their old things have passed away, where everything becomes new. There's a day coming when I'm getting a redeemed, resurrected body. There's a day coming when pollution is gone and justice is removed. I'm coming. There's a day coming where Jesus Christ will rule for 1,000 years from Jerusalem, and then beyond that, this new heavens and a new earth to infinity and beyond. And it's for real. It's this kind of comfort that allows martyrs who are dying so rapidly today. Did you know, I read this article, Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary did research, and it's either 136 or 159, I can't remember, it's somewhere in there, where Christians in the last year were persecuted for their faith. Think about that. There are believers, and I don't remember how many they had die. It was like 100,000. I don't know if it was 100,000 a day or 100,000 a month, but it was just an extraordinary number of people. How often do we hear something like that? We don't, really. Because most of them are poor, no names, who have chosen to believe in a gospel, have chosen to put their faith in Jesus Christ, and believe that there is infinity and beyond that's coming. And so they're willing, in the midst of this situation where radicals come into the building, come into the town and say, either you convert to our faith or we kill you. There was an article written where they said, we can't leave this place in Syria, because this is where God has planted us. It would have been safer to run, but they said we can't. Christians are being killed off in nation after nation. Ethnic cleansing. In Egypt, they're trying to go after the Coptic Christians. Syria, they're going after them. Iraq, they're going after them. But the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be stopped. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. What on earth gives us the encouragement and comfort to keep pressing on? Because we know there's more than just this life. And I know that if I am faithful to the end, because what he says here, to him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes, or she who overcomes, will inherit all this. Overcome. Overcome. How on earth do I overcome? I overcome because the scripture lets me know there's a new day coming. There's a new day coming. Not only, though, does it provide comfort, it also challenges and motivates me to live with kingdom values while here on earth. You know how easy it is for the world to squeeze you into its mold? Do you know how easy it is just to absorb the world's values so you begin to think, live, breathe, act the way the world does? We're called to a different lifestyle. And knowing that there is a heavenly hope, according to the Apostle Peter, this changes things for us. This motivates us. Here's what he says. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. This is 2 Peter 3. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. How do I speed its coming? What did Jesus say? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You mean if we get serious about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as possible till the world has seen, we could actually speed its coming? He's not willing that any should perish. He goes on to say here, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, that infinity and beyond. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. I grant you, it is easier to cave and to compromise than to take a stand today. There was a time when it was the norm for the home, the church, and the community to all share the same values. Recently in Ohio, they have a Hall of Fame wall in this high school in Ohio. In the 1940s, they had a picture of Jesus Christ placed on the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is historical figures who have influenced history. Somebody, though, recently decided Jesus shouldn't be up there. And the ACLU threatened a lawsuit, and the school had to pay almost $100,000 in legal challenges and removed that picture. There was a time that Jesus got revered. There was a time that values were affirmed. They're not. And I got to tell you, when someone comes at you and says, we're going to boycott you, we're going to threaten you, we're going to whatever, if you dare take a stand for natural marriage, it's easier just to be quiet and kind of go with the flow. But what the scripture lets me know is that kingdom values, not world's values, affect the way I live. Kingdom values, living in light of eternity, so that if I have a choice between choosing to do something that's character and integrity or not, I choose character and integrity. In other words, I live in light of to infinity and beyond. Hope of heaven. You mean hope of heaven can affect me here? Yeah. When you walk out that door and your van doesn't start, you walk out that door and you get a diagnosis that you don't care for, you walk out that door and you don't know where money's coming to pay that bill, you walk out that door saying, for the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Lord, I bless your name. When the world sees you with an attitude of gratitude that is far different than theirs, they will go, what's the reason for the hope in you? And when you go out there and you get persecuted for taking a stand for natural biblical marriage, and you go out there and you take a stand for life, and you go out there and take a stand for integrity when everybody else is cheating, and believe me, it's amazing how widespread this is. As a substitute teacher, I hear these students talk. Their values are so skewed. Remember that little bumper sticker I told you about? Flexible morality. That's the way the world lives. As long as I don't hurt too many people and it benefits me, it's okay. We're going to find out next week it's not, that God has an anchor for our soul that we can hold on to. So this message will lead to that. But when we walk out that door, we don't bend. We don't get rude. We don't get antagonistic. We just firmly take our stand because we're living in light of kingdom values. Kingdom values, which, by the way, will still be around infinity and beyond. It's the earthly values that'll perish. Remember, behold, I make everything new. To infinity and beyond. And ask the worship team to come back up. Lord, we admit that too often it is easy for us to get caught up with earthly living and earthly values. We admit, Lord, that it's kind of easy to let the world squeeze us into its mold because we're in the world all the time. But you call us to be in the world but not of the world. And a dose of heaven, a dose of hope of heaven is what we need to remind us that these present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And that since everything down here is going to be destroyed with fire, why on earth would I base my life on earthly values instead of kingdom values? So Lord, we're willing to repent as you show us by your Holy Spirit where we've adopted those values. We're willing to repent, Lord, and have you burn within us the kind of kingdom living that is infinity and beyond living. A new heavens and a new earth living. You called us to this, Lord. And I pray for anybody here that doesn't know you, anyone that'll be listening to this broadcast that doesn't know you, the scripture is clear. There really is a heaven and a hell, and there is a destination that they don't get multiple chances to get it right. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. And our passage tells us that outside the city, excluded from the kingdom, are those whose lifestyles don't line up with the kingdom. So I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that's missed it, has not accepted you, that their heart today would be opened by the Holy Spirit. Lay hold of the promise to infinity and beyond and repent of their sin and put their faith in Christ. Lord, from this side of eternity, we can only imagine what it will be like. Grant that we could live, Lord, in light of infinity and beyond.